WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're so mad, what the Rock is cooking!
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Monday night, and you know what that means. It's time for Monday Night Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG Films. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rock Soccer, Lins and Ward in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store, because we're hashtag Epic Partners. Tonight, y'all, Lindsay got one of her favorite things of all time. A wrestling wedding.
Double wrestling wedding.
Times two. I'm Soraka, and that's Lindsay Ward, and that's where we're starting. Wrestling weddings. That was fun.
Go ahead.
I said that was fun.
It was fun. I will say for me, it does not stack up to Index. I thought Index was still the moment of, I guess, the wedding year, even though I think technically it was last year.
But this in the last 12 months.
Within the last 12 months, I still feel like this was a strong contender.
It was good.
I like the dresses. Both ladies looked lovely. Everybody looked wonderful. I like that we had the mini Team Bad moment with Sasha and Naomi as they helped Tamina down the aisle with her dress that she's in her sneakers. So she can, you know, dash and run later.
Which was great. Like, that was great. And the team, I know some people like, oh, Sasha is above it. It's like, she was just there for it. It was a comedy bit. Like, let it be.
It's a nice little callback. They were both there. Why not do it?
Right? They were all in on it. It was fine. But this whole segment was great. This whole thing, it was stupid. Yes, 100% stupid. But I had faith in R-Truth. He made it work. They did everything. The title was not on the line during the wedding. That's the key.
Respect.
There was a lot of what chanting. R-Truth called her Dana Brooks. And then she corrected him, saying it's Dana Brooke. He goes, Dana Brooke. With the emphasis at the end, I thought was great. And then Dana gives his whole spiel, right? And then Reggie gives his whole spiel, and then they go to Tamina, what she said. Because I was like, same.
Ditto. I like that. It's like, Tamina's like, let's just get this over with. Like, I want the title. That's why I'm here. So let's just get this done. Like, it was so true to character. Like, I really liked it. It was well done.
Yeah.
And then we had a bit of objections.
Yeah.
Just a few of objections.
The phrase was, speak now or forever, shut your trap.
And, well, Tamina spoke, and she spoke several times, because she was like, first she wanted Reggie, so she traded Reggie with Tozawa, and Dana got Tozawa, and then it was like, and then she changed her mind again, and she tossed the boys together, and Dana and Tamina were together, and Dana was like, alright, I'm down.
Crowd popped for it.
And then she changed her mind a third time, and she threw Reggie back over to Dana. And
crowd booed that.
And I mean, for a moment, when it was her when it was Tamina and Dana, it was like, I mean, I'm kind of okay with this, actually. Let's go.
Let's see what happens, yeah.
Like, I have no problem here, but sadly, they did not go there with it, which one day we will get our lady wrestling wedding, and it will be amazing.
So then they give the, he committed them and then wait, no, they can't get their smooching on just yet. They had to do the rings. So they get to the rings and then he committed them because from his vest, he could commit them.
Yeah.
Lots of legal ease that they avoided in this one.
Lots of very choice wording in this, such as commitment, get committed. They never said marriage. They purposefully never said marriage.
Yeah. So it was like they're avoiding it being like connecting them, even though they did the I do's, but it's our truth, so nothing is legal. So then everyone kissed. Then Reggie took her down to the mat, got a referee there. 1, 2, 3. She wants the title. Tamina wins the title back from Reggie. Tozawa then goes under the dress, rolls up Tamina for the 3 count, gets the belt. Dana dives off the top rope in the dress onto Tozawa to get her belt back. Hops on the back of Truth and runs out with the title.
Was it with Truth or was it with Reggie?
With Truth. She ditched Reggie for Truth. Adds another layer of shenanigans to it.
But overall, this was really good. This was a very entertaining spot in the show. Mm. Like, I liked it. I thought it was good.
Couple quick things. Lashley will be facing Omos challenged Lashley to an arm wrestling match, so we get that next week on the show. So that will be something. RK-Bro lost to the Street Profits when we did a musical run-in, and it was the Profits who were behind the musical run-in, which was fine.
Which was fine, yeah. That was good.
Veer once again came all over Jeff Brooks.
It was sad.
With his cervical clutch. So there's that.
He just clutched up on it.
Mm-hmm. Sasha Banks and Naomi took on Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. This was a good match. But there was shenanigans at the end, afterwards, because Rhea Ripley had a match. She was frustrated with Liv Morgan after the match, even though Liv did her best. It was Rhea who took the fall. And then Liv made the most unfortunate thing move she could ever do. She turned her back, Rhea attacked, and left poor Liv laying.
I am kind of disappointed because I did like this pairing. I thought they were good together.
Yeah, it was really good.
Like, you could have gotten a lot more mileage out of it. I understand why they did it. You can always go back to it. Like, you can always kind of do the redemption arc. But I feel like, once again, it's Liv kind of getting left out in the cold for other plans, basically. Because it happened with Ruby. It happened with Nikki. It happened with Rhea. It's happened with a few other people. And Liv just kind of gets left to the wayside. And then they have to find something else for her to do. It's like, well, but why couldn't you have... And I still say this. They could have gone as a set. Because the rumor is that Rhea is going into Edge's group.
Yeah.
And you could have had Liv basically go with Rhea. And maybe she's not up to par. And she gets excommunicated from the group. And that's how you do the split. Is that, you know, she's just too nice, or she's just too sweet, or she doesn't adhere to whatever they're trying to do. Like, and so it's Rhea has no choice. She has to basically prove her own worth, and so she sacrifices Liv for the sake of her own worth. Which you could do that kind of down the line. And it's, like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the split. I see where they're going with it. Like I said, you can always go back to it. There's nothing saying that you can't right now, but I just feel like they could have gotten a lot more mileage out of it because it was a good dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, everything about it was really good, and they
were very likable.
It just, like, it gave a level to Rhea that just was pushing her forward, that was giving her momentum. Like, she had such a great momentum going into WrestleMania because they were such a wonderful pairing. She had good momentum coming out of WrestleMania because they were such a good pairing. And then now it's kind of like the momentum has slowed because obviously they're splitting them up. And it's like, well, now what do we do with them? Because it was like they were serious contenders, I feel like, to win the titles. It didn't happen because they put it on Sasha and Naomi, and that's totally cool. But, like, they could have been serious contenders at one point to win those titles because of how over they were. But
they would have helped legitimize the division that needs help legitimizing itself. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't feel like splitting up a tag team, a women's tag team, a successful women's tag team is the smart move right now, but they know far better than I do, so we'll just go with it.
We have a brand new United States champion, Theory holds the gold by beating Finn Balor. Good, very good match. Good finish too.
Good finish, good match. So I guess this was the plan all along, was to have Austin Theory or Theory or whatever you want to call him. I can't get used to calling him Theory just yet. It's just weird. Win the U.S. title?
I mean, that's a good start for him. Afterwards, all the heels came out, celebrated. They did the whole celebration on the Children's thing. And then Vincent Kennedy McMahon rolled up and took the selfie with Theory.
Which was weird because we're both sitting here and we're like, okay, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
When is it going to, like, something's coming because there's all the heels, there's Vince. Like, what are we doing here? What's coming? And then, like, nothing ever happened. And it's like, okay.
All right. We'll see what happens next week. Okay. That's fine. So, yeah. There was that that happened on this show. So, speaking of Edge. Edge was sitting on his throne, and there, Priest says, you wonder why me and Edge are making Styles' life miserable. Need a reminder who the hell they are. Edge talked about the seeds were planted from his history, his days with the Brood and the Ministry of Darkness. Haha. They've always been there.
I just looked at the camera like I'm in the office.
Edge said they haven't lived up to their true potential. He pointed out to Damian Priest doing all the work and Bad Bunny getting all the glory last year, WrestleMania. He didn't get a match this year. At WrestleMania, and Edge had to beg for someone to fight him this year at WrestleMania. Talked to fans complaining about him, you know, he's there too little, he's there too much, he's a part-timer. He said he and Priest will pass judgment on anyone who stands in their way, and Styles is the only person so far with the guts to do so. Edge challenged him to face him at WrestleMania Backlash, and said it would truly be his Judgment Day, referencing,
bum, bum, bum.
Referencing back to the picture, the poster from years and years ago. AJ then was introduced, interviewed by Sarah Schreiber, and he accepted the challenge, and then the lights flickered, and Edge and Damian showed up and left AJ Styles laying in the locker room, slamming his arm in the cabinet multiple times. So we have magics?
I think they had to reference back to the Ministry of Darkness. I don't think they had a choice, because I think more than one person, including us, made the comparisons.
Yeah, they had to. They had to tie it back to his past, yes.
They had to go there with it, because there was, like, there's no other choice, because it is so reminiscent of the Ministry of Darkness. It's kind of painful.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally throw Edge in a velour robe, and it would be, like, spot on. Legit. Like, it's pretty close to it. So, it's basically the modernized version of what Taker did in the past. He's not sacrificing people. He's not speaking in Latin, and I'm pretty sure he's not spewing blood
yet.
That could all come. But one brain, y'all. One brain.
It's scary.
Was not planned. Anyway, so like, I like that they went there. Like, I like that they did that, because I feel like Edge has been like tying back to that, obviously with the Brood references, and he's been going there and going in the darker direction, so I feel like they've been hinting at this for a while, and they finally pulled the trigger on it. But this was a good promo. I am curious to see how the magics will work, because it's obvious that Edge and Damian have sort of inherited Taker's magics. They're still alive and well.
They do exist. They took him out of Bray's bin and then put him in their own.
Yeah, they got the Bray magics, the Fiend magics, and they got the special lighting when they appear. So they got the Fiend lighting, but it's now Taker's lighting because it's purple. So it's interesting how components are getting split up and reused. But I mean, I like that AJ got jumped backstage. I like that, you know, Edge. I don't know how I feel about Edge's language. And what I mean by that is his manner of speech, because it's still Edge. He's still being himself, right?
Yes. Yes and no. Yeah.
Yes and no. But he's still speaking as he would normally, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it takes you out a little bit, because you're kind of expecting him to be a little bit more dark with it.
Dark and direct. He's long-winded and Edge.
Yeah, and it's like, it just kind of takes you out of it a little bit. It's not bad. It doesn't hurt it at all. It's just when he's talking about things like fans and stuff like that, and I know that's the setup for it. Like, you know, the stuff with, like, the fact that he had to beg for a match at WrestleMania, the fact that Damian wasn't even on the match, the fact that Bad Bunny took all the credit. You know, like, all of that stuff is really good, but then when he starts, like, complaining about the fans, and, you know, he's, like, a part-timer, and he's this, and he's that, it's like, well, but okay. It just, I don't know. It's like, it's just the manner of speech. It's the way that he's speaking that it's still Edge, but it's just, he's in a black suit on a throne, which is very nice, by the way. Not complaining about that at all. Keep doing that. It's good. Anyway, but yeah, it's just, it's, and the manner of speech will obviously change over time, but just, it's a little distracting right now. It's like when he was cutting the promo last week, and he's just being Edge, but he's surrounded by darkness and Damian Priest. He's in a black suit and he's got his hair fixed. It's just, it's Edge. Just in a different, completely different setting. It's like...
You're still waiting for the character to develop its own pattern of speech instead of just being what Edge is, just darker lighting.
I'm waiting to see the character begin to change and evolve, which I know is what he's going to do at some point, so it's not even, this is not even an issue, but it's just, right now it's a little distracting for me. Not in the same way that Cody Rhodes' tattoo is distracting, but it's a similar kind of distracting.
We're going to get to Cody here in a minute or two. Other things that happened on the show, including Sonya Deville in the ring and talking about how she got her, she was forced into an office position, and now she found her way back to being a wrestler. She saw a window of opportunity and she took it. She wants to take off the title off Bianca because Bianca is the best and nothing less, and that's who she wants to take it from. Bianca wanted a challenger, she gave her one. She said it's nothing personal, it's just business. This brought out Bianca Belair. Deville was pointing out she's still official in her because she's wearing a jacket, and there will be repercussions if you put your hands on me. She called for a title match to take place tonight. Deville's like, nah, nah, nah. I've waited years for this, 3 years to have an opportunity, but it's not going to happen in Buffalo. We'll do it in your hometown next week so that you can have your family and friends there, so when you lose the title there, you'll have a shoulder to cry on. They're always used to seeing you lose. This set Bianca off, put her up in the KOD. She threatened to fine her suspender stripper of the title, so Sonya gets dropped without taking the move. And then will there be repercussions? And there would be. Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville had a conversation. He said, we're going to talk about what's going on here. She's like, I'm doing everything by the book. I'm not, everything's fine. Adam Pearce is like, I find her, and there's that. She's like, it should be the biggest fine of all time. The biggest fine we've ever given. Bianca shows up and Deville's like, you gotta get out of here. It's like, there's a meeting of WWE officials. You don't belong here. She's like, I'm here to pay my fine. A $1 fine. Pierce said he did it by the book. I was good.
This was all super good. Bianca looked cute as shit.
Yeah.
Like, and when she started messing with her earrings, I'm like, Sonya, run. Sonya. Sonya, run. She's gonna beat you up.
Those were logo earrings too, right?
Yeah, they were. Which I think she probably either had made or she made herself. Like, she makes a lot of her own stuff, so I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if she put those together. But they were super cute.
Yeah.
And I like this. I'm not sure how, like, I like that Sonya is the way that Sonya is attacking, but I like the overall story that they're telling right now, where basically Sonya's like, I got pigeonholed into an office job, and it's like, well, but girl, that saved your butt. Let's all be real.
Yeah.
Probably saved your job was the fact that they made you an authority figure. But I like that the way that they're kind of working her back into a more wrestling role. I would hate to see Sonya not retain a level of an authority figure because I think she's very good in that role.
I think she still will be.
Like, I think that's honestly, literally, it was the best thing they could do for her because the MMA gimmick they had her in wasn't really working. And I think she's almost like what Steph could do. I don't think she is quite there on the same level as Steph because Stephanie McMahon is just Stephanie McMahon.
Stephanie McMahon is one of the all-time greatest characters in television history. Not just in sports entertainment, in television history.
Yeah, and she's right up there with her dad. So, but I think Sonya, in terms of how she's presented as an authority figure, I think how she's written, it's on that same level with Stephanie in terms of vibe. Like, that's what I picture and that's what I see. So I would hate to see them lose that in Sonya, but I also like that they're pushing her as a wrestler and kind of paying her back for all the work that she's done. In that authority position, and she can really be that strong heel that Bianca needs to go against. Because I think in terms of the Raw Women's Division, you don't have really that strong heel. You had it in Becky Lynch, and that's what made the story with Bianca so good at WrestleMania, was you had that heel to Bianca's face, and now as the champion, you need that secondary heel to be there. And it's not there on Raw. They're going to have to build it in what I'm assuming is going to be Rhea Ripley. So, yeah. In the meantime, in the interim, they're going to use Sonya.
They're good. And they're also using Sonya, my guess, is to set up the return of Becky next week.
Probably.
To set up Backlash.
Probably. But in the meantime, that's what they're doing. And I like it. I think it's good. I also like Pierce being like, you know, yeah, you did beat her up. And, you know, technically that's wrong. And yeah, I got to fine you, but.
$1. Here's $1.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to fine you a lot because let's all be honest. She had that coming. So just give me $1 and we're cool. Like, that was good.
Yeah. So Kevin Owens was on the show and he had a Kevin Owens show, the KO show with Chad Gable there to administer a lie detector test for the one and only Ezekiel. So Ezekiel comes out to do some of the questions. We do the whole bit. Who wants to hear Zeke speak? And Owens says that's like the same thing as a walk with Elias. It's in the same cadence. It's the same exact thing. It's like, you're doing the same thing. So we do all these a bunch of questions, and you see all the things, and Gable starts to lose it a little bit, and then Gable asks, Ezekiel, is your real name? He you know, said yes, and he was like, he's telling the truth. Owens gets mad. What's it over to his older brother? He asks, yes, and Gable confirmed he's telling the truth, and he asks if your real name is Elias. Ezekiel said no. Gable said he was telling the truth. Owens wasn't Ezekiel paying Gable more money than he was. Owens told Gable he wasn't paying him and told him to leave. Ezekiel told Owens that he had enough of this and was tired of being called a liar by the biggest liar in WWE, Kevin Owens, and he was excited to have his first match in WWE, and that was against Chad Gable. Ezekiel would end up winning the match when Otis interfered on Chad Gable's behalf.
Okay. I don't mean this negatively. I have never wanted to, like, inject moisturizer or Botox or anything like that into somebody's face more than Ezekiel. That yeah. Poor man in his beard line, his face is so crinkly. And I hate saying this, but it's like, oh my god, honey, please go moisturize your face. Because it was distracting. It was completely distracting. Like, you're just sitting there, and it's like the one wrinkle that's like right there at the corner of his mouth. And it's not a bad thing. It's just, it's like you're sitting there and you're watching it, and because of his beard line, and I think because he had a beard for so long and the way that the wrinkle kind of formed, that it's just, it looks like crinkly and dry. And just, it's just there. And it's like, I don't know if I can do this. Because he was clean shaven and he had a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had probably just shaved not that long ago and he had a 5 o'clock shadow. Like, the boy can grow facial hair. It's just in his family he can do it. And God bless for that. But yeah. Like, the segment itself was fine. It was, I like that how Kevin is doing this. He's putting in some of his best work with this. But I just, the wrinkle, it just was so distracting.
Speaking of distractions, open up Monday Night Raw with Seth freaking Rollins. And he called out Cody Rhodes to come have a chat. So Cody Rhodes comes out. Rhodes asked Cody how it felt to be on the top of the world. And then, you know, and fans are excited. He said Rhodes said it felt so familiar to be in a ring with Rollins in Buffalo, and Buffalo's is Rhodes country. Rollins said it was all about respect. Fans were cheering for Cody some more. Cody then was, you know, playing to the fans, getting everyone up in the arms, and Rollins getting mad. Rollins said things were going in one direction, but now they're going in another. Rollins said he was going to tell Cody how much respect he had for his family, including his brother and his father, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and now he respects him. He talks about how he had respect for him returning as the American Nightmare. Rollins took credit for making Cody a star one night at WrestleMania. The point is that at WrestleMania, you had the unfair advantage, said Seth Rollins. You came as Mr. McMahon's surprise opponent. Rollins said he didn't have time to proper prepare for you, and that's why I lost. Rollins said the what's worse is that Cody and some fans think that Cody is better than him. I'm better than Cody Rhodes in every way possible, said Seth Rollins. He said Cody, the flavor of the month, and he said he's not the future of the industry. He talked about like, Cody has never won the title, and Rollins has been to the mountaintop more than Cody has. Cody said Rollins has been to the mountaintop 4 times, while he hasn't been there once. But that one doesn't change the fact that I beat you at WrestleMania. See, he was like, he was absent from WWE. He had a management position, and he learned something about mediation. He said he should involve a third party and ask the fans what they think. Fans were cheering for Cody. Cody asked the crowd if they think he's better than Seth Rollins. More cheers. We had a yes chant. Rollins was getting upset, telling him to shut up. He said Rollins said he wanted to put the shoe on the other foot tonight here because of what happened to him at WrestleMania. He said, tonight I'm going to choose an opponent and I'm not going to tell you who it is. Cody accepts. Want to talk about that first or want to go to the main event?
No, I thought this was all really, really good. This was well done. I can't complain about it. Cody and Seth are mixing well. They're continuing to build the feud, build the match, and yeah, keep going.
Cody is fitting in promo-wise very, very well. Scripted, but it's Cody.
It's in his voice.
Yes, and they're playing in well. And he is really over with the crowd, and that's helping a lot. And you can tell how over he is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that was your main event. Cody Rhodes against the mystery opponent, a former world champion, a man with valor. Never backs down from a fight and tells no lie. It's Kevin Owens. Kevin and Cody have a really great match. Seth Rollins gets pissed at ringside over and over again. And then at one point towards the end, Rollins is telling him, get back in the ring. He says, fat ass, get your fat ass back in there. Kevin's like, this is your stupid match, and walks out. So Cody wins by countout. Cody wasn't team happy about it, nor should he be. But then gets up, celebrates, gets shoved off the top rope, onto the ground. Hopefully he's okay. But yeah, that was your main event. Good main event. I'm not surprised they went for the BS finish with the count out because they don't want Kevin losing to him, and nor should he be losing, and Cody's not going to lose a match anytime soon, so yeah.
Yeah, no, I like this. I thought it was a good use of a non-finish. Don't give that away. Don't have Cody beat Kevin. Don't have him pin him. You just have Kevin get mad and walk off, which is perfect Kevin Owens behavior. And, you know, you have him and Seth have a little tiff, which is great. And then, you know, Cody looks strong at the end still because he didn't lose, but he didn't win. And you're continuing to build towards WrestleMania Backlash where he will probably pick up another victory. But I like this. I thought this was all very, very good. There was a little bit of concern, though, after the match.
Yeah, when he landed. They didn't show the fall. So all you see is him holding his knee, so I haven't seen anything come across the Twitterverse yet, so I think he's okay. I think he was just holding his knee to sell the fall. I hope that's all it is.
I'm sure they're checking him out just to be safe.
Yeah, but nothing so far has come across the Twitterverse, so we should be okay. If not, we'll tell you about it Thursday.
Right?
But that was Raw. Good show. Raw's in a good spot right now.
Overall, it moved. It was entertaining. They had a little bit of something for everybody, and I liked it. I thought it was fine.
Raw's moving along just fine right now. They found their stride right now, which isn't a bad thing. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday, we're live with The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT, and a discussion. All your favorites. It's The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. 10 p.m. Eastern. Thursdays.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Before that is Fortnite with Friends, around 10:30. You know the drill by now. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio returns at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also support the channel by using creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can go follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward, same as my Twitter. I will be back streaming tomorrow live, 6 p.m. Eastern, as the new banners flip and Kamisato Ayaka comes into the shop. So we're going to see if we can get the Kamisato Supremacy and bring her home to complete the set. I'll have all three of them and it will be lovely and it will be wonderful, but hopefully she'll come home. So tune in 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I will be streaming Genshin Impact on Twitch as the new update takes hold. Also, we will be finishing the event stuff and there's a little something special just for Brent. He's going to be very excited when he sees it. So tune in.
And I've already warned Lindsay she's going to hate it.
I'm going to hate every second of it, but Brent will love it. So that's all that matters. Hopefully you will too.
It's good content.
Very good content.
Also, find our VODs, lindsaywood.rockradioshow.com. Dang. Thanks to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night live for the rack. Right back here every Monday night. Long Airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.